Can you talk a little bit about how you envision the pathophysiology of tumor lysis syndrome?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, anytime you have a highly proliferative tumor or a very high tumor burden, which is very sensitive to the therapy, the anti-cancer therapy, whether it's conventional chemo or targeted therapy, immunotherapy, you're going to break up these tumor cells fairly rapidly and release the intracellular contents into the bloodstream, specifically potassium, phosphorus, uric acid, and, you know, with the rise in phosphorus, the drop in the serum calcium. And this wreaks havoc on the cardiac rhythms. So you can get arrhythmias, you can get seizures, you can get deposition of uric acid and calcium phosphate crystals in the kidneys, and that can lead to probably the most common complication was acute kidney injury, what used to be called acute renal failure, we call acute kidney injury now. And so if the kidneys are still functioning fine, you have normal kidney function, and they're able to keep up with the excretion of these products, that's great. The problem really comes in when the production release of these substances outpaces the excretion or elimination. And that's where you start getting into problems.
So I have to ask you, you mentioned the terminology acute kidney injury. What's behind that change in terminology?
This evolved around 10 years ago. There was different nomenclature, different definitions of how do you define acute renal failure. And so failure connotes complete loss of function, which is why they went to injury, acute kidney injury. And you know what they defined is as little as a change or rise of 0.3 in the serum creatinine connotes acute kidney injury. That is stage one acute kidney injury. And that or a 50% rise in the creatinine. So if you have a baseline of 0.8 and it goes to 1.2, that is acute kidney injury. I think these are subtle early changes that previously were not recognized as acute kidney injury. And if you look at all the studies, there's been hundreds of studies now looking at this new classification, and this correlates. Even these early small changes in creatinine correlate with increased mortality, increased length of stay, increased costs, et cetera. So
that's really interesting about, you know, as little as 0.3. I mean, how much variation do you see just in laboratory measurement?
That's a good point. And there are obviously other factors that affect your serum creatinine level, your hydration status, concomitant medications which affect creatinine excretion or secretion into the urine. Your diet can also affect it as well. So unfortunately, creatinine is not a perfect marker of renal function, right? You have to lose a significant amount of kidney function before you start to see a rise in the serum creatinine. Unfortunately, it's the best marker that we have currently.